Hey, this is Sil from Immortals, and you are listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 82 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, November 15th, 2017. The time, 8:25 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am Tim. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening's journey as we dive into the latest news and happenings into esports. Joining me, though, the two best buds any man could ask for, you have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, family?
What's up, what's up? Brett, we found out at work, we get 4 months off for having a baby. Brett is expecting a baby.
I've never been more ready to, all right, to be a dad.
I can't wait, man. I'm going to get my wife pregnant so fast.
I'm like switching jobs right now.
And that voice you heard with the sweet bass because you got a new microphone is Anuj.
What's up, fire team?
What's up?
What's up, what's up? How are y'all doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. This is going to be the best episode ever. Not only because Anuj had nothing to do with the show notes this time around, but because Brett and I worked really hard on them, slaved over them, sweat, tears, test our relationship to the limit.
I almost divorced you.
We made it through, baby. Yeah. We will talk some Championship Sunday action. New segment this episode, boys. Championship Sunday. Basically, it's really not that creative. A lot of championships happen on Sunday. We're going to talk about them. I buy Power Cup, Rocket League Season 4, Tekken World Cup. We got it all in the Sunday. We will talk about Immortals CSGO team situation. I think for the most part, the last nail in the coffin has been nailed in the last couple of days. I think that's safe to say. And I just want to take the listeners of what 2017 has been for Immortals. Of course, we're going to end the show with some e-news, as always. Compilation of stories of just things we didn't really have time to get to. Or, you know, not that important. But still worthy of at least mentioning. But for right now, oh, before I get into our first segment, which is talking esports industry awards, follow us on Twitter. At The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. If you are familiar with our website, you will notice it looks a little different, looks maybe a little fancier. I don't know. Let us know what you think. There's a little contact box there. All of our social media links are on there. Again, tcr.gg is the best way to get in touch with us. But all right, let's get into this esports industry awards. It just happened over the weekend. I don't know what your guys' feelings are on it. Do you put any stocks into awards shows in general, like the Oscars or anything?
I mean, award shows in general, maybe. I always feel kind of like it's a popularity contest. Most times I look at these things and it's just like, I guess, I mean, whose opinions are these really, right? But
I feel like there's two people.
This just
kind
of felt forced. But we can talk about that in a minute. I just kind of feel like it's...
Yeah. There's two people in the world, right? Those who care about the award shows and those who don't, right? They feel like it is a popularity contest. Probably helps if you are in it, first off. Spoiler alert, we weren't. So I don't know what's... I mean...
But we were invited.
We were invited to be guests. So baby steps, right? That's kind of cool that they
baby
at least...
Steps.
The fact that they even thought of us, right? I'll tip the hat to that, I suppose. Maybe next year, boys. Maybe next year.
I think it's pretty cool for esports to have its own little award session, and it's growing so much. If you asked me 5 years ago, I thought this would have been a joke and probably laughed it off, but there's a lot of amazing streamers out there. There's a lot of amazing players out there. People are putting a focus on the industry. So, you know, even then, it's publicity, right? So it's not the worst thing, but it's not like I'm sitting there casting my vote for each of them and
right.
doing all that, but I'll enjoy it as it comes. And there were some fun speeches. I thought, you know, Dr. Disrespect had a good one. Thorin was lit as always over there. So
yeah, so let's get to some of the winners here then, because I agree with I'm kind of on the fence, right? I think it's kind of cool that esports does have its own thing. It's very professionally done, right? That's what I will say. They don't make it a bit, right?
Yeah.
This is not esports.
Yeah, people came like suit and tie, you know.
Oh, no, I mean it's even on the invitation. So on the invitation that that I got, it did say like this is a formal event. You know, it's suit, tie, whatever. Black, what is it? Black tie? Is that what they call it?
Black tie. Yeah.
I don't go to fancy events, but no, they did say that on the invitation, right? They take it serious, and that's one thing I will say. Like, for example, I remember when the video game award show, right, not esports, but just in video games in general, first started, and it was on like Spike TV. They basically made it a joke. Like, it basically made fun of people who played video games the entire time. And that's something that I like from this, is that you can definitely tell it's made for people who are into esports, and it's made to take it serious. So that's 2 cents there. That being said, just like any award show, though, it's not without its flaws. Like, for example, two of these will stand out like a sore thumb, and I think in 10 years, right, when we like have like back-to-back-to-back best esports podcast, broadcast, whatever category it is at the time, we'll laugh at some of these categories. Like, for example, Commercial Partner of the Year, and what was the other one? Commercial Partner and Hardware Provider of the Year. Those two, okay? Hardware Provider of the Year, Intel. Commercial Partner was G Fuel, okay?
Those sponsors of the event.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who gave us the most money?
Who
award.
Throughout the 2017 calendar year gave more money to esports? Like, that's so, yeah. I don't know. Like, again.
At the same time, though, you, like, look at what, you know, what's for the most part hardware provider. Okay, Intel kind of takes the topping there in terms of the consensus.
A lot of these, though, are like that. Like, streaming platform of the year was Twitch. Well, yeah. I mean, what else do you think? YouTube was going to win that one? That's going to be the closest
nominated.
Up.
YouTube actually wasn't nominated. It was just Twitch in that category.
It was just the one. Actually, let me see here, because I think there were some.
Yeah, there's a list of.
Where
what
was it? It's not in the same order, though. But you had, like, YouTube. You had Facebook on there. So, I mean, it was up there, wherever there was. But moving on from there, let's kind of go down the list here. You had Console Rookie of the Year, which was Punk from Street Fighter. Obvious choice. I mean, the dude, Anuj, you stuck around at DreamHack, right? You were there? No,
yeah.
You were there, right?
No, I left at the end.
Okay. Well, to see Punk and everything win first. He won E-League. He, you know, he's far and beyond.
Wait, you and Ronnie there?
At
the very end?
I stayed till the end of at DreamHack Austin. I stayed till the end of Street Fighter.
Well, anyways, he was the winner over there.
Yeah,
it was like an exciting match too. It was just a back and forth.
Oh yeah, it was like down to the wire.
On a mistake, right, by the other guy.
Yeah,
but I think they both made mistakes at the end. Where it's
I mean, for the most part, it was kind of a sloppy finals. But yeah, but he won Rookie of the Year, PC Rookie of the Year, Hobbit for Gambit.
Who else was nominated in that category
for PC Rookie of the Year?
Yeah,
you had. Claws on Quake, which that I mean, he probably was a close one. You had GH from Dota, Mike Young from League, and Rops. So
all right, yeah. I mean, I guess Hobbit probably gets it there just because of what you think.
The major
was the tipping point there. I'm sure. You mentioned earlier, Anuj, the Journalist of the Year goes to Thorn. You know, everyone's got their thoughts on him. I know we have our thoughts on Thorin, but deservingly so, nonetheless.
At the end of the day, the guy knows his stuff. So when he at least is talking about particular topics, you know, he's very thorough and generally is
accurate. Based off
he's embedded. He's embedded and he's informed.
Yeah,
we may not like his opinions,
or how he handles
he's
himself.
Informed.
Right, like that's
how he carries himself is not always
that's
the best,
my issue. Yeah. Just the way he represents himself, and then thus kind of trickles down to how an event can be represented, how esports or Counter-Strike, right? Like, I think when you're, this is getting on a Thorin rant, but when you're starting beefs with people from League of Legends or Dota, it's like, at what point do we just take the high ground and just say, guys, we're all esports, right? Like, right. We should all be working together. We shouldn't be trying to knock down other events or other esports.
He's an internet troll with fame behind him.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's good at his job.
A knowledgeable one, right?
Yeah.
He just likes to troll, and he likes to push buttons. It's what he does. Stephen A. Smith kind of school of journalism in that sense.
Yeah.
One thing that stuck out to me was the coverage website of the year was ESPN. A bit odd. The only thing I could think of is because they cover everything.
And because they probably want to hype them up.
I'm sure they need them
to be invested. Yeah,
they want
them to be a bigger part maybe because of the resources. I don't know.
What comes behind it, but like HLTV.esports, Gosu Gamers, Slingshot.
HLTV, dude, is amazing.
It's amazing.
It is, but it is just Counter-Strike. So.
Right.
That is true.
It's kind of, you know, I mean, I could see where if they would have won, people are like, well, that's not really an coverage. You're covering one sport.
You're covering a esport.
Yeah.
But one of the largest esports out there this moment in time.
Slingshot was actually nominated, and that would have been something. Considering
we're going away present.
No longer around Slingshot. That would have been something to win.
But honestly, if you look at it, I would like all my sports websites to be like HLTV. Like, if I could go to each esport and they had an HLTV version of that, it would make my life
so much
easier. I mean, it's just that the links are so awesome. Like, you start off with a big event. Okay, I want to click on this event, see what happened. Okay, I want to click on this team. Let's see how their team's... Okay, now I want to click on this player and see how that person's done. It's just
pretty
so
incredible.
Intuitive and awesome, yeah.
Publisher of the year was Riot Games. I know a lot of people had issues with that because you had people like Valve, which was last year's winners, Activision, Nintendo, Ubisoft, right? 343 Industries, Blizzard was up there. You had big guys on there, and Riot ended up winning. And a lot of people had issues because it's like all you do is make League.
Yeah.
But
there's one omission here that at least they got something right and you can agree with. Where's the EA in this?
Yeah, EA has to do esports first.
Yeah, right.
We already went through commercial partner of the year. Streamer was Dr. Disrespect. Not really esports, but hey, it's the two time. How are you going to say?
Streamers have helped build esports so much that they kind of deserve a piece of the pie in this, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's all
PUBG
the same culture.
PUBG is now an esport, and PUBG is not an esport if it's not for people like Summit, Doc,
Shroud.
Shroud.
Surprised Shroud wasn't a. You know, was he nominated for streamer? How does that work?
Oh yes, I
funny
actually have a.
That.
I have a funny story, man. Thank you for bringing that up. So I'm sitting here, watching it, and there were tons of streamers, and so Shroud actually was not a nominee for it, but they definitely were bringing him up at one point in the event, right? They brought up the fact that he was professional, then he went to a streamer, and everything like that, okay? And I was watching the award show, and I was watching Shroud stream all at the same time, and as they were talking about Shroud at the award show, Shroud's chat was all going insane, right? They were like, Shroud, they're talking about you at the award show, and Shroud takes a second to pause, and he's like, what award show? It's like,
So he'll win it next year.
Oh,
if he gets a full year under his belt, the dude's got 30,000 viewers a night.
Yeah, no joke. I just thought it was funny that it kind of does show people's mindset on, you know, not everyone is as into this as others. Breakthrough
Game usually wasn't nominated. You know what I'm saying?
Breakthrough Game of the Year. This one again is kind of controversial because you have PUBG being up there. When it's still in early access. I mean, I would look at the other competition. Vainglory, H1Z1, Quake Champions, Injustice 2, Paragon, and Rainbow Six Siege. Now,
there's
all those...
no game that just, like...
Nothing is close.
Yeah, nothing came through. It's a bit odd because you do have that argument that PUBG is an alpha. Basically a paid or a paid beta, if you will, being in early access. But... I mean, whatever. It doesn't affect my life.
Like, they had 20 million people playing that game actively or whatever they say it is now. So
Tim and I talked. It's like, okay, H1Z1's there. But H1Z1's been around for years. You know, a few years.
Yeah.
But we were joking, like, okay, PUBG won it this year. And I guess when they release fully, they can win it again.
The breakthrough. I want to see their definition of breakthrough. right?
Yeah, right.
That'd be like getting over a hump or some sort
right.
of hurdle.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Game of the year, obviously, Counter-Strike. I mean, what else?
Easy.
Yeah, that's going to be there. It actually,
so much.
So actually, I believe,
year.
And don't quote me on this, but I believe Counter-Strike winning Game of the Year was the only back-to-back winners from last year.
Maybe they were like, what does TCR talk about the most? Okay, that
yeah,
works.
Right? It tells you something there. Team of the Year was Optic Gaming for Call of Duty.
Deserving.
Fair enough. Console Player of the Year. So earlier was Rookie with Punk. You had Formal of Optic Gaming.
Optic, yeah.
Yep. So they kind of cleaned house on the console side. You have PC Player of the Year was Miracle from Dota. Plays for Liquid.
And saw a funny thing about this. So for PC Player of the Year, somebody tweeted out, this is the first time Cole Zero lost. I think it was Fallen. He said, this is the first time Cole Zero has lost a 1v1.
Uh-huh.
It's a good one. It's topical and funny. And then for Personality of the Year, Jokes? Maybe that's how you say her name? The cute girl from League of Legends. That's all I know her as.
What is Personality of the Year and Streamer of the Year? Like, what's the difference between the two?
Well, Personality of the Year is like...
like a caster, right?
Yeah, like in esports, right?
Talent.
Yeah, talent.
So not it's different than Broadcaster of the Year.
Not yeah, because Machine won Broadcaster of the Year.
But like Anders could win Personality of the Year.
Well, I guess he's a broadcaster. Personality of the Year would be like Sir Scoots, right? Like a host. He's a host.
Oh, I
of
got
the
you.
Desk.
Okay, okay.
Right?
Yep.
I guess. You're right, maybe. Because they kind of all fall under it, though, because Machine also hosts. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Whatever, just an extra word to get out.
They just had to get a cute girl up there, I guess. I don't know, man. But that's it. That's it for the Esports Awards show. Overall, good show, like you said. Wherever you sit on it, it is what it is. It's an award show. Take it for what it is. I say all this, but wait till we get nominated for one. And then I'll be like, this is the biggest deal ever.
Podcast of the year, baby.
That's not even a section. I guess we would be, journalists?
Maybe.
Sure.
Do we
journalists.
Do journalism?
Yeah. Oh,
if somebody's
yeah,
fact checking us, no. If you're not fact checking us, yes.
Yeah, right. We're all
no,
on
no
point.
One fact, no one fact checks this show.
Speaking of not fact checking, this is a time where you don't want to fact check us. But we are going to talk about the Immortals saga of 2017. Like I said, a lot has happened with it. And Anuj, you even mentioned it in our pre-show discussion where it was like, dang. Like, you kind of forget where Immortals started at in the beginning of the year, and it kind of came full circle to now, right? So, for those who don't know, Immortals CSGO, it kind of all started around September 10th at the DreamHack Open in Montreal, where KNG, Henny, and Lucas all were late to a match, and they ended up having to forfeit the match. DreamHack awarded the win to...
Yeah, they forfeited a map.
A map, excuse me. Yeah, yeah, not the whole thing, but forget to what team. CLG?
North.
Yeah. And so later on, was it FNS made a joke? KNG tweeted saying that he was going to kill him, and it all just started crashing downhill from there.
And FNS's joke was like pretty funny. I mean, he was saying,
he's saying, I can't believe anybody.
And anybody that follows FNS and knows FNS just knows he's a goofy dude. Like he always says stuff like this on Twitter. It's tongue in cheek. It's never like serious.
Yeah. And what he said was, he goes, I can't believe we lost to a team that was hungover basically.
Yeah.
So it was like, I mean, he was complimenting them in a way too. I mean, it just made them look more bad, not necessarily KNG, but he took offense to it and threatened to kill him. And rumors are he went through the hallways looking for him and made a huge deal out of it.
And that's where everything took an ugly turn. So with that setting the stage, I want to start from the beginning of the year, kind of touch on some things with Immortals, and then go from there. February 5th, SK swaps Phelps for FNX. Okay? So that right there was kind of a big deal. They swapped him. Remember, FNX was kind of having...
Personality
disputes, right?
And this is big because at this point, SK was winning tournaments.
They
SK
were on
was
top.
Winning majors. They were number one.
Number one in the world made a roster move. How often does that happen? On May, so that was February, May 15th, okay, so just a couple months later, Immortals benched FNX due to, again, internal issues. So same thing that just got him off of SK. They were like, we can't, this is too much, too much. May 24th, they announced KNG. So within a couple months here, they acquire KNG. On May 24th is when they got KNG. Now, that was from a loan from Red Reserve, so it wasn't official or anything like that.
And KNG was a really hyped up player. I mean, his op skills were supposed to be incredible at that point. He was a big name in the Brazilian team. So a lot of excitement at that point when KNG came on.
And then you have on July 23rd, this is like the, so this whole time, right, if you want to kind of imagine, what do they call it, like a bell curve, right?
This is the climax.
Yes, the climax, there you go. That this is, they were climbing up the hill, everything was looking up, they made a good move with KNG. The climax was on July 23rd when Immortals placed second at the PGL Major against Gambit, which was huge, right? This was the major of the underdogs where Gambit and Immortals were in the finals. Gambit ended up beating them. And again, climax of it. And then from there, just starts going down. The next
That's where we catch up to what then took place at DreamHack.
Yeah, exactly. In between there, they officially signed KNG. Okay. That was like July 25th, like right after the major, they officially signed him. Like, go figure, you just got second place with a fill-in, essentially. Of course you're going to sign him. Then fast forward to September, he says he's going to kill FNS. September 20th, 10 days later, he is kicked off of Immortals. 2 days later, Lucas and Henny are benched.
And mind you, all KNG had to do to prevent this was apologize.
Yes.
Yeah, all he had to do was, yeah.
And throughout all that mess, through so basically between the 10-day gap of September 20th and or September 10th and the 20th, like all the mortals, all the organization was waiting for was an apology on Twitter. Like, I'm sure that's all they were waiting for, and it would have all been like, hey, kids are stupid. They were hyped. You know, adrenaline got to them, and we'll move on, right? Well, we'll send it to some therapy or whatever, you know, the old bit of we'll send them to therapy.
Yeah,
the 22nd, like,
good on. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, the 20. I got you. This real quick. So, just to remember, on the 22nd, like Tim mentioned, Lucas and Hen were both benched. The reason that is so significant, it's the first time that I can remember, and Brett or Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, that a team was willing to lose their major status in order to resolve this issue. I mean, right. It got so big internally, they gave away their chance at. You know, you talk about all the glory that comes with being in a major. They were willing to just give it up at that point.
Yeah, they would have to continue back through qualifiers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, Anuj, like, that was the point I was going to bring up, is that, I mean, good on Noah for taking a stance, right?
That's the Immortals owner, like, for those of you that don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he just looked like, look, this is not how we conduct ourselves. Like, this is not what we're about. And, you know, he gave him plenty of chance. Like, I felt like, more to your point, Tim, if they would have just apologized to me, like, look, you know, we were late. It'll never happen again. You know, this is not how, you know, a professional, you know, esports athlete should act. You know, we're sorry. It would have been all water in the bridge, but they didn't.
But he didn't. In fact, he actually doubled down.
He didn't even apologize for being late. He just needed to apologize to FNS. That became the biggest thing, you know, is that he threatened to kill somebody at an event. He just had to apologize to FNS, and I think this would have, like, been water under the bridge at that point.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like he almost doubled down in his tweets later on that day, being like, well, DreamHack didn't act too quickly when we were out of a hotel and, you know, late in an earlier tournament, and just basically saying, like...
Just being an idiot.
Just arguing, right? And I get it, right?
And that
you're young.
And that argument
whatever.
Goes right out the door because Bolts and Steel showed up. Like, they were there.
Yeah.
They didn't have an issue.
No, where and were you guys? And throughout all this, like, you know, Steel was saying they never threw them under the bus, right? To Steel and Bolts' credits, they handled this very professionally and never threw them under the bus, but at the same time did the whole, I don't know where they were at. You know?
It was like obvious what was going on, but you're right. They didn't throw. They were. They really were.
Yeah. But if you've ever been to any of these events, the pros are pretty public, right? Like, you just see them walking around and everything like that. And I can promise you, they are always next to each other, especially the Brazilians. They don't leave each other's sides. So with Steele saying, like, yeah, I didn't know where they were at, I'm going to say there's a 95% chance he was lying and knew exactly where they were at.
Yeah.
And they were probably out the night before, and it happens.
Everyone felt bad for Steele and Bolts at that point because, in the background, and it's not listed on our timeline here, but as this is happening, when Lucas and Hen are benched, they're asking to be bought out from other teams because they want to join up with FNX and KNG.
Yeah, they want to go with their friends.
It was even worse for Bolts and Steele because you knew they were then taking that slot at the major because they were going to have 3 out of 5 on the team that caused the issues, right? Like, these two are being punished.
I know we've talked about it before. I hate that, man. I hate that that is the way it goes. And I get it because of roster spots and you want to be fair to the players, and it's more so to protect the players, but it left Immortals, when I say Immortals, the organization of Immortals, just at the mercy of everything out of their control, right? They had no say in really any of this. It was either, okay, we're going to keep Henny and Lucas when we know they don't want to be here and it's just going to be terrible for everyone, or we're going to have to ditch our major spot. Guaranteed.
You go from a chance at winning $500,000 to at least they probably got about $200,000, I would assume, in buyout money for those two combined, you know, if not more. So they still probably walked away with something in their pocket, but to lose that major spot, I mean, it's just such a tough tournament to qualify for. And I mean, I'm sure such an amazing event.
Now they failed to qualify too.
Yeah, they didn't even make it out of the minors.
No, they've already failed to qualify for the major. So that just tells you how quickly it's turned into it. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because just recently just a couple days ago, November 13th, the final chapter has kind of come to a close because Bolts, I guess it's not on our timeline here, but at one point, Bolts is now, and correct me, Anuj, is he playing for SK? Or I guess on October 31st, Taco announced that he will be playing for SK on a loan.
Yeah, so nothing will take place until after the major. So Phelps will be playing with SK during the major. And the speculation is that Bolts will then take his place after the major. The reason I'm a little... I would wait to, like, confirm anything is because let's just say SK goes to the major, does well, maybe gets second or even first in the major. I don't really know if they'll be willing to make a roster move at that point. But... Bolts is rumored to be taking Phelps' spot ultimately, but that won't happen until after the major.
And just looking at that, you know, just as a spectator looking, it just feels like Phelps, like, he tries too hard and he doesn't really play in that SK system. But if you look at Bolts, just what he's done since he's been on SK,
he's keeping
pace with Fur and Cold Zero when it comes to, like, HLTV ratings, you know, like the rating that's there and all that. So, I mean, it's not like he's an obvious weak link. I mean,
no,
I think the players like him, right?
Phelps is really good. I mean, Phelps will catch on to another team quickly. I just think their system, it doesn't allow for what they say is to kind of unleash Cole Zero a little bit more. He doesn't play the spots that they would ideally like him to play, where Bolts really does fit the system a little better. Phelps will find a team quickly, though, because he's more than a tier one capable player.
I
don't know how his English is, though.
And even just 2 days ago now, so you had Bolts now playing for SK, that's working out. You now have Steele going to Team Liquid, and that's transferred. He is on Team Liquid.
He's playing for him right now.
Yeah, he replaced Stanislaw. He did play for them. They're out of the tournament already, but he did play with Liquid at IEM Oakland. Now, he's not allowed to play with them for the qualifier for the major.
Won't be playing at the qualifier, which, again, is, like, crazy to think that they would make that
move.
But now,
on the wording there, though, well, Zeus is playing, correct? Zeus is replacing Stanislaw for the qualifier.
Yep. Yep.
So if they qualify, then can Steele play? Am I understanding that rule correctly?
I don't think he can play at the major for them.
Okay,
so
at all.
I don't think
it's
he can play at the major.
Qualifier and then on, anything with the major.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just the players, like having three players, at least three players from the roster only pertains to keeping your eligible spot.
Yeah. But like a team that you're qualifying with, I don't think you can sub out.
Yeah, you can't.
Through, so.
Yeah, you're stuck with him. You're signing. That's why it's such a big deal at roster move. You know, that's why there's that fake roster deadline when all these type of qualifiers start, because you can't really mix it up unless it's like with a coach or like your official stand-ins that I think you register for with. But I mean, even at IM Oakland, still looked good. You know, yes, they got eliminated, but that's kind of expected, right? I mean, brand new player on the team. No matter how good that player is, you're going to have some growing pains. But like Bolts with SK, I think Steele is another one of those players, man. And after speaking with him at ESL Dallas, he just seems like one of those guys that can adapt to any situation, right? Like, he can easily go in with a team. He seems so – and maybe we're completely off base, but even from anywhere else I've heard, the dude is so level-headed. Like, go on our YouTube page and listen to our interview with him at ESL Dallas. And it's like, the dude is so knowledgeable. He's so thoughtful with what he says.
So yeah. Polished and polite. I mean, you know, I don't think it's just us, because when we were, you know, at ESL, we had asked Launders at the time, like, who we should interview from that team, who would be a good interview for us. He didn't hesitate to say, like, go grab Steele. Like, Steele is the guy you want to talk to, because he'll, you know, he'll open up with you. He'll be genuine with you. He'll give you good and thoughtful answers. And we got all of that plus more. I mean, the guy really was impressive to speak to. So I'm definitely happy for him.
Yeah.
It you know, Liquid seems very happy to have him. And I watch a lot of, like, at night before I go to bed, I watch a lot of Rinkest matches. And he's one of those guys that everyone wants on their team. Like, you can just tell he's well-respected around the pro scene, at least the NA scene. So I
know he's not toxic, for sure.
No, for sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, good for him. I'm glad he landed on his feet. I'm glad Bolts and Steele just kind of, you know, they found their homes.
I really think both of those are going to work out. Like, in the long run, like, I don't see how, and for example, like, I don't see if it doesn't work out with Steele on Liquid, I don't see it being Steele's fault, right? Like, I don't see him being the reason to go. And I don't know if... I know, Anuj, did you read Stanislaw's, like, letter, his twit longer or whatever?
Yeah,
tweet longer, whatever
I did.
You call him. Man, yeah. So if you haven't read that, I would recommend going to Stanislaw's Twitter page and looking for it.
Pretty genuine read.
Yeah, he really opened up. It was pretty long, pretty decent size for, you know, kind of a goodbye letter. And it wasn't just saying thanks. You know, he really did open up. And he straight up admitted, like, man, I was miserable. The team was miserable with me there. You know, he came in thinking he was going to be a leader. He ended up butting heads with Zeus, which, even from us talking to Zeus a few times at ESL Dallas, that dude's a leader, man. You know, like, he is going to be – he's a coach, and he's going to talk like the coach. He's going to expect his word is over yours in that, you know.
Yeah, you should just be almost speaking on his behalf as the IGL, not necessarily having your own voice and – having him coach around that.
Just
I don't
getting,
think that was comfortable for Stanislaw.
Well, and Stanislaw said there, it's just their
different
method.
Visions on how to
different visions, different methods on coaching. And he was miserable, and that bled over to the play and everything there. And he even said, going into I Buy Power, he pretty much knew then and there that they've already made the decision, right? Like, he made the Liquid made the decision that, yeah, you're done after this.
Everything was off. Yeah, they were all off. It just didn't happen.
It needed to happen. And now, like I said, with Steele, man, I think it's going to be great. But getting back to Immortals and their saga, right now you have, it's rumored, but I think it's per sources pretty solid, that Henny, Lucas, FNX, KNG, and Bit are all going to be part of 100 Thieves, which is Nade Shot.
100 Thieves is... It's also owned by the Cavaliers, so they're under the Cavaliers branding.
Yep.
Nade Shot is their, like, operations guy now. He's accepted that position. So they would play most likely under the 100 Thieves title, which is his line, clothing line,
stupid
team line,
name.
Whatever you want to call
stupid
it. Yeah.
Name.
So they should be playing under that, that name.
I will take that to my grave. When I die, I want it on my tombstone that 100 Thieves is the dumbest name for an esports team.
There's only five of them.
Yeah. Maybe we can become a bigger franchise.
I don't even get it. And then, so for right now on Immortals, it's not even a full roster, obviously, with Steel just now leaving. But you have Horvy, Destiny, ZQK, and I don't know, Shiz? Is that how you say that guy's name?
I don't know. Very Brazilian type names, I feel.
They stuck with the Brazilian roster, which I think
is a mistake.
Well, it's a mistake on skill, right? Like it's a mistake on if you want to be relevant. But it's the same thing Luminosity did, right? It's that Brazilian mentality of like they don't want to lose that fan base. They want to hang on to that fan base for as long as they can until they're in complete obscurity, and then you might see them come back in, right?
Imagine they went from like a 1B, you know, I would say SK being 1A and these guys being right behind them because they were just second at the last major, being a 1B to like the fourth best team in Brazil, if not even lower. Because now you're behind what Luminosity as well, and obviously you're going to be behind 100 Thieves and you're going to be behind SK. So you went from being at the top of your game to like, you know, kind of tier two team at best.
It's going to be a rough climb, man. But
yeah,
me and Brett were talking at work earlier today. They're also, I believe, they're the ownership group behind San Francisco Shock in the Overwatch League. Yeah. So I don't think CSGO is their top priority.
They're going to do it. They got two of the best DPS on their team, on that Overwatch team. I think they're going to be really good. Maybe this is just isn't his priority right now. You know, maybe.
Well, and they lost their NALCS team also. They lost that spot.
Yeah.
A little bit of a rough go also for these guys, I feel.
Just Immortals in general. Right.
Yeah.
But again, like we said earlier, like what are you going to do? Right? Their hands were completely tied in this entire CSGO part of their team's fiasco.
They did everything right. They did everything
as an organization.
They could have done.
You couldn't have handled this situation any better. And I'm not trying to like knee pad Immortals here. Like I really agree with you, Anuj, that what they handled it professionally. They released the players that didn't want to be there. And what else can you do?
To not ask for a major buyout for Bolts and Steel, which it doesn't look like is what happened here. They granted them the release, and
there's a note here with a rumored $600,000 buyout. Is that for?
That's for the Chuckies, Hen1 and Lucas.
Okay, so that's just for them alone.
All right, so we don't get killed, you know, by our listeners. You know, all like two of them. San Francisco Shock is actually NRG.
Oh, I knew that. So who's Immortals?
They are Valiant.
It's like, oh, they lost their spot there, too.
Yeah, they're Valiant. Valiant.
Okay, I knew it was California. I knew it was a California team. It's all the same over there, man. So, yeah, I don't know. We will see where this the next step
for CSGO. So that buyout
is
for FNX, Hen1, and Lucas. For three players.
Okay. Well, then, so that's not too bad. $200,000 apiece.
Dude, they got more than they would have got for winning a major.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like we said, situation, right? The fact that you weren't really even planning on doing it, and then all of a sudden, that's what happened. It's not a bad turnaround time, but like you said, Anuj, they're looking at the outside looking in as far as being in the Brazilian team. I mean, they don't even have a full roster right now, and like who are they going to add that's going to be popular? I don't know. Let's get into our new segment with no production value whatsoever because we just came up with it before the show. But Championship Sunday. Like an ice cream sundae. Get it? But it's also on Sunday, the day of the week. So, it's a play on words. Yeah, well, that's what's going to get us to the Esports Awards show next year. So, we all laugh now, but it's going to work. Let's start with Tekken World Tour. All right, so Tekken just came out earlier this year. They had their first pro season, I should say, and they had their first world tour. Man, awesome stuff. If you're into the fighting game community, which I am, I love all of it. I love the fighting game community. If I had to pick one community in esports to actually like be pro in, I would definitely have to pick out them because they just look like they know how to have a good time and chill. Now, this whole thing, though, I think you pronounce it Kudans, He's Korean, so please forgive me if I screwed that up. But Kudans ended up beating Saint in the finals. 3-1 on both sets. So he ended up actually resetting the bracket because in the winner's finals, Saints actually ended up beating Kudan. So Kudan went down to the losers, had to fight there, and then reset the brackets and beat them. So, I mean, it was in any tournament where you actually get to reset the bracket in a double elimination tournament, which should be the only way to do a double elimination tournament, by the way. I don't get these double elimination tournaments that don't have you reset the bracket at the end. I think it's completely unfair and a ridiculous way to handle it, but that's for a different time. He ended up beating Saint, resetting the bracket. He ended up beating JDCR in the losers finals, going to the grand finals. Now, that set it up. It could have been a completely Echo Fox finals. Echo Fox, man, they're really good at fighting games. Echo Fox, you will always see in there. The one takeaway I will give you on this, okay? Kudan, only player in the top eight, in the final eight in the tournament, to not be signed to an organization. I can promise you that's going to change pretty quickly, if I have to imagine. Also, a note here, and this is not even just in the fighting game community, right? You could say this about Counter-Strike or Overwatch or whatever game you want to think of. If you sit down for your match and the man across the table from you is wearing a white turtleneck sweater, just get up and walk away.
You're done, dude.
You're not going to beat him. Like, that dude is coming to kill.
Tim, what other fighting game was it recently where it was, again, an unsponsored player that won the tournament? It wasn't that long ago.
No, it was in Street Fighter.
It just kind of blows my mind that there's like still like either hidden talent out there or talent out there. You would never see that in the major, like other major esports games, especially like a team-based game for an unsponsored team to come out and win a big tournament.
Man, what was that? What was it?
But something. But I know it was fighting at the end of the day, right?
No, it was Ally in Super Smash Bros. Wii U. He won a DreamHack event, and then Cloud9 ended up signing him right afterwards. So unsponsored, went in, won it all, and then got sponsored by Cloud9.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Then there
crazy.
Was also the Rocket League tournament won DreamHack unsponsored, and I'm pretty sure Cloud9 also signed them. So I see a theme there, and Cloud9 likes to just pick up talent right away. So, you know. There's that.
Like the Yankees.
Yeah, just, oh, you won one? Okay, well, here you go. Let's sign you up. We'll see what happens.
And they did it with Stewie and Shroud.
Yeah, yeah, they hit it there. So that was Tekken World Tour, a pretty awesome event. I pretty much enjoyed it, even though I am terrible at that game. I bought it thinking it was going to be my thing. Not so much. Not so much. You also had Rocket League. Speaking of Rocket League, ended up Season 4 ended up wrapping up this last weekend here. You had Gale Force beating Method in the grand finals. Gale Force taking home a sweet 55,000. Split up between three people.
Yep.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah, considering everyone in Rocket League looks like they're about 12 years old.
Because they are, Tim. Yeah, I mean, Gale Force had to come back and double dip Method, number one EU team. I mean, pretty impressive. Kind of sucks that we didn't get the championship match that we all wanted with, you know, number one EU team Method against number one NA team Cloud9. That was your, I guess, semifinal match. But all in all, you know, it was a pretty good event. I watched most of it. Very easy on the eyes, but, you know, for anybody that's wanting to pick up Rocket League, And thought it was cool and watching these players just do all these aerial shots and stuff. Don't think you're going to go in doing all the stuff the pros are doing.
So I watched some of the Cloud9 Method game, and It was the first game where it went into overtime, and I think Cloud9 won 1-0 in overtime. And I was just amazed to see, I mean, the way these guys were making saves, the way they move in the air. I mean, it was just blowing my mind to watch them play this game, and then to see a 0-0 game where there's not even an accidental goal in regulation.
Yeah,
it was just crazy.
That's Method's game, though. I think they're number one in just goals and not giving up, like goals against. So if you watch a Method game, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of scoring unless you're watching the finals and Gale Force just ripped them apart. So, anyway.
Yeah, the final. This was one of those things where the match between Method and Cloud9 was kind of the finals, right? As far as like the hype level goes. Because, yeah, Gale Force just ended up destroying them. In fact, they ended up beating Method in the finals 4-0. And these are the score lines. Game 1, Gale Force won 2-1. Game 2, 4-0. Game 3, 2-1. Game 4, 2-1. So, I mean, close games, but nonetheless.
The clean sweep.
Yeah, the clean sweep. With a shutout in one of them.
Wasn't expected.
No. But nonetheless, though, man, the Professional Rocket League is awesome. The way they handle it, it's like I said. Earlier in the year, I remember saying, like, man, they have the chance and they just need to grab it, and they really do. I love watching it. Though Rocket League still holds the place as the last game I rage uninstalled. I didn't even rage. Not only did I rage quit, I rage uninstalled the thing. And it's still not installed in my PC, even though as I'm watching this, I'm like, man, this would be great to play again. No, not doing it. Not doing it.
Yeah. It's a fun game. I enjoy it. It's a game I like to play with my son.
Yeah, that's because you can beat your 3-year-old son.
4-year-old.
Okay. There's a reason you like to play it with your 4-year-old son.
Hey,
and not the other people in the game.
Never killed anybody, Tim, all right? I'm
whatever.
Teaching him about the world, all right?
Whatever.
Whatever. Not everyone wins. Winners get sprinkles.
I'm going to laugh when he beats you at 5 years old, and you're like, huh,
it's
well,
coming, Tim.
This is done. We're done playing this. And then
new game, son.
The last bit of ingredients to this championship Sunday was CSGO and the iBuy Power Masters 2017, or as I like to call it, NA's one throw of the bone of the year. Just so NA can still put down that they've won a tournament at some point in time. And iBuyPower is nice enough to give us that opportunity. Cloud9 ended up beating Renegades in the final of all teams. Kind of another one, though, where Cloud9 ended up playing Liquid in the semis. So that was kind of...
And everyone kind of waited for that as like the finals matchup. Although Renegades has been playing some great ball, dude. Like, NAF has been on fire for them. Nifty has been so consistent. So, finals were, you know, Cloud9 heavy. It was great to see Stewie kind of get back on his game there. And but, yeah, I think everyone was kind of looking forward to that semifinal matchup with Cloud9 and Liquid going head-to-head, and they took them 2-1. After a really, like, bad first map, too. Like, I don't know what the score line was. I think it was, like, 16-2, 16-3. Where Liquid took that first map and you thought they were just going to steamroll them, and Cloud9 showed a lot of resolve coming back and taking the next two.
Yeah, it was 16-3 on Inferno, then Cloud9 turned it right around on Overpass, 16-5, which I think anyone knows, like, Inferno is not Cloud9's map. They hardly practice it, and if there's going to be a game where you should probably beat them 16-3, it's on Inferno.
Yeah, and their only ban that they always have to do is Nuke. So
yeah, so it's
forced into it occasionally.
But overall, pretty entertaining stuff. Again, though, that was one where the finals was just uneventful. In fact, the biggest thing there is when Renegades ended up beating Optic 2-0 in the semis, beating them 16-7 on both. So that was another tournament where the semis actually had a better storyline than the finals. I mean, yeah, I guess the second game went into overtime in the finals, but still, I never felt like Cloud9 wasn't going to take that.
And Rush dropping 31 or something kills on, what, 25 rounds or something in the last map was pretty impressive.
There you go. There you have it. So that is the Championship Sunday. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Again, that's kind of just going to be a reoccurring segment as, you know, if there's a lot of championships on a Sunday. Hence the name. Let's get into some e-news, though. Because we do have a bit to get to on that, and then we will send this show off on the road. We've kind of discussed it throughout the show, but IEM Oakland, it did start up just a couple days ago. So far,
teams that I know for sure are out. Well, Tyloo,
the all six are out already.
Okay, so they've all already, have they all been finalized as we've been
all
doing
in
the
finalized.
Show?
You got Ninjas, Cloud, and SK from Group A. So that'll be fun for both of us because we both got some of our favorite orgs involved. So Ninjas, Cloud, and SK, and then FaZe, Optic, and Gambit. So the big names that are out: Astralis, G2, Liquid, Envious. So a lot of big names already out of the tournament. So it'll be a fun weekend to watch.
Man,
that.
Envious. We don't need to talk about it, but Envious straight up dismantled Cloud9 earlier today.
You know what? Go back and watch, just listeners or you guys in general, go back and watch the Astralis SK game from earlier today. It went into like a triple or a quadruple overtime. Amazing game, though. Just fun one to watch. Yeah.
I was listening to that on the way home. It was intense.
Rocket League going on here. E-League, I don't know if we discussed this last week or if this was announced the day after, but E-League announced that they are... Did we? E-League announcing a Rocket League Cup?
Yeah.
We talked about that last time? Okay. Well, so if I'll just repeat it. E-League is doing a Rocket League tournament Friday, December 1st through the 15th. So that will be good, I'm sure. E-League always puts on a good show. Follow-up from last week's story, the sad one where Internet Hulk ended up passing away unexpectedly. Very quickly and actually very cool, Overwatch League announced it that they are going to have the Dennis Havelka Award. This award will be presented at the end of each Overwatch League season to the player that we deem to have had the most positive impact on the community.
That's awesome.
That's great, man. That's awesome.
I'm glad the quick turnaround time. You know, like, I'm glad this didn't have to be a thing where they gave it up to, like, fan voting. It's like, hey, what should we name this trophy? And then people voted for it. Like, it was, Blizzard, Overwatch was like, done. This is it. And for a meaningful trophy, too, right? Like, the giving back to the community trophy. I feel like out of all of the trophies, that's one where, you know, it's not skill-based. Like, you could take some pride into it. So the fact that that's named after Internet Hulk, I think it's very cool.
Right.
We have esports organizations not paying their players. That's a big surprise, right?
What?
Oh, my God.
Are you telling me there's money issues in esports? Yes, that is exactly what I'm telling you. Esports organization Dometic allegedly owes its Heroes of the Storm players more than $50,000 in earnings. That actually comes out to be about $55,000. That they owe their players. I think it's like 5 out of the last 10 players on their team. Now, the roster was released back in August and released in the sense of they had to get a lawyer to fight about it to not play for the organization anymore. And this is just a simple case of they just stopped getting paid. They each had a salary of around like $1,200 a month and plus winnings, right? Plus winnings from tournaments. Noventic, if you follow Heroes of the Storm, they were like number one in the world for a little bit. Like, they were the number one NA team and number one team in Heroes of the Storm for a while. And they said in the article that I read, which was a quote from one of the guys on the team, like, people were wondering what happened to us. Well, this is it. Like, it's kind of hard to play for an organization when behind the scenes you know they're not going to pay you for the tournament.
Right.
So,
see, this is why you need structure. And, you know, these other bigger owners stepping in. So it's just more stability.
It is definitely something that's going to have to be.
This is how you screw your name up in esports. Like right here. This is how you do not get big players or ever turn into anything more than a tier 3 team now is what they'll become.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that, I mean, it's and Heroes of the Storm isn't like that big of a community. You're going to be remembered. Pro Evolution Soccer, or PES, as some people might see, 2018 announced that they are going to do an esports league. That's about all they announced so far. Good luck with that.
The game was better than FIFA back in the day, though. Back in the day,
you know,
Pro Evolution Soccer was
I'm just a FIFA fanboy, I guess, but I've always enjoyed the FIFA game.
So I've actually have friends that say the same thing, Anuj, that to this day they actually prefer Pro Evolution Soccer over FIFA.
Well, and now, if you ask me now what I would play like today, for me it would be FIFA. But like when I first got into like playing soccer games, which was years and years ago, Pro Evolution was like what most of my friends and all of us like would choose. Part of it was because it used to have the names and all that. Some of the other ones didn't at the time. That's but kind of Evolution now. Was, yeah.
It's always been messy. Mm-hmm. Messy Easter, like, cover guy.
And again, in IM Oakland on Saturday, one of the first actual real PUBG tournaments, right? With actual, like, professionals. Yeah. This isn't just some
type of...
Yeah,
they've had some with, like, personalities.
Yeah,
and
right. Or
like a charity stream or
something. Yeah, charity streams where you did have pros in it, but then you also had, like, YouTube personalities purposely throw in or, you know, I think, like, Soda Pop and killing himself to be the 69th one dead, which I applaud that, but... Yeah, you know,
this is first person, right?
Yes.
It better be.
I believe I read this was a first person tournament. I will watch it. I know they're also probably going to make some announcement of the new map because that's getting leaked out like every day now. So.
Well, they said it will release before the end of the year, along with the game going live. So the game should be live at the end of the year, and we should have the new map, which I think will be good.
And then, in what is the most weirdest, oddest way to try to advertise for a tournament? This was actually on the esports subreddit and CSGO subreddit. If you haven't seen it, join our Discord, and it's in the voice thing. I've posted it in the voice channel, or you can even just hit us up on Twitter if you can't find it. But it's a commercial for by the Dynamo Club, which is like a Russian like sports team, right? If, you know, however that makes sense.
They're one of the biggest Russian soccer clubs.
They're like Manchester United, but in Russia. Like, they're big. They're hosting this tournament, the FCDB Cup 2017 Minsk. It's actually coming up November 25th.
Minsk.
Sure, man. Anyways, this commercial. Anuj, you watched it prior to the show, and Brett, you watched it prior to the show.
I don't know what I watched, and I feel like I'm in trouble when I leave this room.
Like, delete your internet history afterwards. Don't watch it at school or work. So if you're listening to this and you're, like, at school, don't look it up. Like, wait. It is the weirdest thing. And this is probably just, you know, the joke is Americans are prude with what they their sexual content, right? I just think it's – I've seen naked women before. So, I don't need it in my commercials, but...
IRL.
I've had consensual sex, GQ. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm well adjusted.
But it's this commercial where a guy opens up the door, this attractive female hands him a VR headset for no reason, no context, just here's a VR headset, and then all of a sudden he's walking around a mansion with, like, women in their bikinis and half naked, and at no point in time... Does really esports ever really make an appearance up until, like, the end when they show their CSGO and FIFA teams? Like, at no point in time did this give anything indication of the tournament. In fact, like, our friend Cassie, she thought it was an advertisement for the VR headset.
Yeah.
I just
like...
I'm still confused on what I watched.
I don't know if it's a combination of the way esports advertises itself or if that's just Russia.
God bless you, Russia.
I don't, you know, but hey, it is what it is, man. I don't. That's,
yeah.
It's not the way I would have advertised the tournament. That's all I'm saying. But hey.
What a way to end the show.
Maybe I just didn't understand it. Maybe I'll go ahead and watch it again after this, just for.
I'll give it a second.
I'll
look
give it.
Too.
You know, maybe it was just the first time watching it. Maybe I need to watch it again. You know, maybe on like half speed or something. I don't know.
Let me make sure my wife's asleep real quick and I'll watch it again too.
That's why you got to make your computer face the door. That's your first problem. Your back is to your door. I'm looking at her. No one.
Kids, if you didn't learn anything today, that's the one thing you should take away from this show.
It's just you gotta look at the door. Also, Control Shift N opens up Incognito in Chrome. Other than that, that's all you need to know. And then you can watch the Russian, as many Russian esports commercials as you'd like. Anyways, you hear the music, you know what it means. It's the end of the show. TCR episode 82 is done, it's in the books. I hope you enjoyed it. If not, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry you just listened to an hour of something you didn't enjoy. But thank you nonetheless. I love you. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. It has all our social media. It has a link to join our Discord. We've got a good little Discord going. There's a lot of people in there talking.
having a good time. We'll be back next week. Talk some IEM Oakland finishers. Until then, for Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. See you later.